Keep your songbooks handy. We'll be standing in just a little bit. Hopefully that's what you will be thinking. And we'll be singing that invitation song. Tonight we want to talk about parents. I saw we have a lot of young people. And generally that means a lot of young parents. And you can put yourself in that state again if you would like. The Bible has a lot to say about families, because everyone in here is a part of one. I usually ask the question, are you a part of a family? Yeah, well, yes, who isn't? We all are. The Bible tells us about it in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Particularly, the older women are to teach the younger women. The young men, likewise, teach them to be sober. A lot of teaching has to be done. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses tells us, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." He's talking to those who are older. And if you're going to teach God's word, you've got to put it into your heart. David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I put in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Parents, you need to put God's word in your children's heart. You need to see that it is there, that their faith is their faith, not yours. They come to worship God because they know it is our duty and our responsibility, not because mom and dad make me go. They need to love God. They need to know what it is all about. So he said, "What I'm going to tell you, you must keep unto your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up," and on he goes. I think he wants us to teach them. What do you think? You getting that idea? But before you can teach anything, where must that knowledge be? It must be here. And that comes from Bible study. I lived with a love story. A love story with my folks beyond compare. And a mother that taught herself to read. She had a third grade education. And that's another story. But the book she taught herself to read on was this one right here. And when I'd come home from school or practice or whatever it was, she'd be fixing our supper, and she'd have the Bible on the table. And the table was so close to the stove that it had the grease pops from the chicken. You've been there, done that. That's how close the table was. And so I saw her studying the Bible, reading God's Word. That's what she loved to do. She loved to tell the story. She loved to tell it to us. And I think that helps young people, just as God said. But many parents today, in this past generation, have grown up listening to a doctor rather than to God. They listen to Dr. Spock, not Mr. Spock, but Dr. Spock. And he told us in his book that discipline would warp a child's fragile ego. Let them express themselves. I don't know about you, but I've had about it up to here with that. And that was a long time ago. We are now living and enduring the generation that has grown up now with no discipline. That's why we're having the murders that we're having. Do you have them down here? People walking into their former office places or where they got fired, where they got laid off, and they didn't like somebody, they just take a gun. They're going to shoot somebody. There's no discipline. You would not even think for a split second of doing that. But when it happens now, you don't go, "Oh, just another case." It's happening in West Virginia. It's happened all over the world. People with no discipline because they did not listen to God's word. Oh, don't spank that child. And now you can't do it in public. My parents weren't afraid. They didn't care where we were. How many people were there? I got taken out one time when I was a little boy. And I didn't want to go back. Because what we now call the nursery was the cry room. And when you went back there, that's what you went back there for. And you didn't want to go again. I remember that so, so well. And so we need to teach. But again, we must put God's word into our hearts. We must be, as Paul said about Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother. He said, I remember their unfeigned faith or their genuine faith. And he said that I presume that is in you too, and in it when it was. He said in that same book, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How did he know that? Did he have his own King James Version to carry around? No, they taught him. They took him where it was read, God's word. And he heard it. And look what it made out of him. Something we didn't hear about Dr. Spock, what he wrote near the end of his life. He said, we have reared a generation of brats. Those are his words. Parents aren't firm enough with their children for fear of losing their love or incurring their resentment. Boy, is that a flip-flop. This is a cruel deprivation that we professionals have imposed on mothers and fathers. Of course, we did it with the best of intentions. We didn't realize until it was too late how our know-it-all attitude was undermining the self-assurance of parents. Will the media let you see that? Will they let you read that? No, they will not. They will keep it from you and your children and their children. But we must be aware, and this is what we were preaching even while people were reading Dr. Spock's book. We were telling them that is a lie. It is a lie of the devil, and now we are paying for it. Amram and Jochebed lived in tough times. They lived in a time where they were killing little babies, and you think, oh, I'd hate to live back then, wouldn't you? Well, you are. We're murdering babies to the tune of 4,000 plus a day. A little town about 5 miles north of us, there was an empty field across from the McDonald's, and somebody had the courage to drive 4,000 little white crosses in that field. And they stayed up there for months, 4,000 crosses, which reminded you every day you passed that field. And even though they're gone now, every time I drive by that, those crosses are there. 4,000, not a year, not a month, but a day. And that's been going on for 40 years. As we'll talk later this week about this nation and where we're headed and what happens to nations that do what we're doing, it's not going to be pretty. And so we've listened to the wrong education. We've educated ourselves at the feet of men and not at the feet of God. Let us be aware of that and let us do the teaching that it takes. Let us do teaching about marriage. I have a lesson that I preach at home that's called Get the Divorce Before the Marriage. If we do our teaching, if we do our homework as parents and yes, as grandparents, we'll solve a lot of the problems of today. David said in Psalm 127 and verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. But once you let go of that arrow, do you have control of it? No. No. One sports announcer said, he gone. Yes, they're gone. You don't get a do-over. You don't erase and say, oh, I wish I could have. Wish I had a. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. No, that won't work. You have to do it while they are with you, and they are with you for a very short time. I thought my little ones were going to be stair-step with me all the way. But guess what? They grow up, and they leave. And we must do our teaching. We must polish our arrows. I bought... Back in the 50s, I saved up $2.57 and I went to the drugstore and I bought me a bow and arrow. Had two arrows with rubber tips on it and I shot it at trees. It lasted about 5 minutes, those tips. I broke my arrows and I picked up some sticks in the yard and tried to think they were arrows. Were they arrows? No, arrows have to be molded and shaped and weighted and polished. Just like children do. Let me ask you, what is your aim for your children? Because they're going to hit what they're aiming at. They're going to hit what they're aiming at, or where you're aiming them. One parent, he said he had three boys, and he was going to make sure that those three boys didn't have as hard as he did when he was growing up. So he gave them every little thing their heart desired. You see where this is leading? It's not going to be a pretty picture for those boys, and none of them entered the door of God's people anymore. He gave them everything they wanted, but not what they needed. I heard so often that the children can step on your feet when they're little and then just step all over your heart when they get older. And in an audience this size, I know that's going on. And I don't mean to be cruel. I want to save some children and some parents because it affects the parents when the children go away. We need to begin at the cradle. We need to begin teaching our children. Luke 2 and verse 52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We want our children to increase in those things. Yes, we do. Increase them in wisdom. How about Bible wisdom? Don't neglect your children. Spend some time with them. Oh, somebody said, it's not the quantity of time, but I spent 5 minutes with my son every week. That's a lie, isn't it? He said, but it's quality time, 5 whole minutes. Is he going to reap what he's sowing? You know he is. Not enough parents spend enough time with their children. How about reading the Bible rather than Mother Goose? Some children know more about, when our children are little, the Smurfs, or Barney, or these other things on TV, Big Bird and others. Is he still on? I'm not even sure about that. But they know more about that than they know about Bible characters. I remember my mother telling me, if you knew as much about the Bible as you knew about the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team, I knew what they had for breakfast. Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. what they batted left and threw right or whatever. I knew how much they weighed. What their RBIs were, then their batting average. I knew all of that. So we had a little change in our home then. She was doing her homework. Don't neglect your children. He said, it's vain to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow. Psalm 127 and verse 2. A lot of parents are working themselves to death and forgetting all about their children. You heard about latchkey children? They leave home alone in the morning. They come home alone in the evening. One teacher told us at a parent-teachers organization meeting, she said, I saw this little girl eating her lunch. I saw something falling out of her sandwich. And I walked over to her and I said, honey, what are you eating? She said, a brown sugar sandwich. I said, did mommy make that for you? She said, no, mommy's gone when I get up. I said, I made it myself. Break your heart? Yes, it does. Teach your children. Be a good, responsible parent. Do your homework. Again, you have no do-overs. They will not be with you forever. Teach your children to work. Give them duties and responsibilities. I know, children, that's not a popular thing for anybody to tell you. Work. That's a nasty four-letter word, isn't it? Yes. But children, they're doing you a favor. When you feed the dog or you feed the cat or you... That pet that you had to have. You know who fed our little dog? We did. We missed the night. We had to get up and go feed him. It was our duty and our responsibility to mow the yard, to rake the leaves and all of that, to wash the car, whatever we can do. Our parents found work for us to do. Long time ago, I remember a preacher telling us, you teach your children to work or you'll teach them to steal. You'll teach them to be lazy. You cannot read the book of Proverbs and get that from the book of Proverbs. Solomon said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Proverbs chapter 6. You go to the ant. You watch. You watch. Teach them about the home. Teach them about the family. Teach them about children and their duties and responsibilities. Love them. And the word love means to realize the value of the one loved. Let them know how valuable they are, how much they are loved, and look them eyeball to eyeball and tell them. Sometimes it's hard. Oh, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I love you, son. I love you, sweetheart. I love you. And mean it. Sometimes we say it so casually. I'm not sure that we mean it when we say it. We make mistakes, too, in not letting older ones teach our younger ones. I'm still learning. We have an older congregation at home. I told somebody the other day, we buried 50 of them in 15 years. But I have been with those wonderful people, get to go visit them, and I come out feeling so great. I have learned. Let your children be with older people. They're not somebody to be neglected. Show your children the consequences of sin. Show them the consequences of sin. You read something in the newspaper that might affect their lives, you show them. Immorality, show them. Don't hide it from them. That is reality. I think Joe can still remember the time we took them to see this automobile that the top of it was about this high. After it left the road at 92 miles an hour, that's what the speedometer said, it turned on its top and it hit a tree. I saw the tree, Joe. The tree wasn't affected. But four young people died that night. There was blood in the front seat, blood in the back seat. And somebody asked me, do you think you should have taken your children to see that? I said, I sure did. I didn't want to be a parent that got a knock on the door at 2 in the morning and say, we've got some bad news. Four people that night who told their children goodbye. It was. Show them the consequences of sin. Read the book of Proverbs. Parents, you read it, you study it, and then you teach it to your children. I have said for years, I wish I had sat at the feet of an adult who could teach the book of Proverbs and show me what I needed to know. Yes, it's not just a good book, it's a great book. The Bible is all sufficient. It'll teach us how to get to heaven, yes, but it'll show us how to live while we are here. That is a wonderful book. But in that first chapter, in verse 10, he said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Parents, tell your children they are going to be lured. Girl, some boy is going to lure you. He may be the jock of the school. He may be the quarterback. He may be the star. He may be everything. Keep your eyes open. I told our daughter Tina, I said, you see this thing on the end of your arm? If she doesn't know what no means, you show him, you mean business. You mean business. Show the consequences of sin. I asked one mother, did you ever talk to your children about sex? And the reason I said that is because it was obvious she hadn't. She said, oh no, I was too embarrassed. Our daughter still remembers our little talk. I talked to her a couple of years ago about, oh, Dad, oh, I sure do. Sure do. And you know, your children won't hate you when you warn them. They'll love you. Thank you. They'll tell you, thank you for not letting me go there, not letting me do that, for teaching me to say no. My younger brother, 10 years younger than I, which makes him about 22, had an album back in the 60s, and it was by a group called Bread, and I was way past them, and I really didn't like that group because of the type music. But they had a song on their album that was called Everything I Own, and I heard it, and I thought, that's a pretty good song. I thought it was about a boy and his girlfriend, and he lost his girlfriend. But I read later, that's not what it was about. David Gates, the writer of the song, wrote the song in a funeral home, in the room next to where his father lay in a casket. And this song was written about his father, and I read it to you now. It's called Everything I Own. I've read it 1,000 times, and I can still barely make it through it. You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free. The finest years I ever knew were all the years I had with you. And I would give anything I own, give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. You taught me how to love. What it's of. What it's of. You never said too much, but still you showed the way. And I knew from watching you, nobody else could ever know the part of me that can't let go? Is there someone you know, you're loving them so, but taking them all for granted? You may lose them someday. Someone takes them away, and they don't hear the words you long to say. And I would give anything I own. I would give my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. I want to tell you, folks, I can't go to the tombstone where my folks lay and tell them how much I love them. It's too late. I can't take flowers to them. It's too late. I need to give my flowers to the living. And I want you who have your parents with you, your grandparents, you're fortunate enough to have them, I want you to tell them tonight. And if they're far away from you, you call them. And if they're near to you, you turn around and you tell them. You tell them, I love you. Can you do that? Teach your children. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. And our little ones are growing up, aren't they? Yes, they are. And it's a wonderful thing to see. I remember reading in Luke 19 about little Zacchaeus. Short of stature, but what a man. What a man. I remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17 reading about a giant whose head would touch the rim of a basketball goal. His head. But he was cut down, wasn't he? Don't be concerned about how tall your children are, how short they are, how wide they are, how skinny they are. We will drive our children into a shell if we're not careful. And many parents, why couldn't you be like your brother? Why couldn't you be like your sister? Because I'm not. I am not. And neither are you. Some have said, oh, they broke the mold when he was born. You know what? They broke the mold when every one of us was born. We are all different, aren't we? Aren't we? Fingerprints, we've known that for years. Lip prints, ear prints, footprints. Even our tongues. Different. Our voices. That's why we can call somebody and they, as soon as you say hello, they say, hi, Deb. Know who you are? Know who you are. Yes, we are all different. And now we've got this DNA thing. You know, I don't know how anybody can be a doctor or scientist and say, there's no God. I don't know how you can look around you and say that. But with all that we're learning about Him and what He's done and the design that He's given us, aren't you glad you've heard and you believe? Another thing, as you watch your children grow, don't show favoritism. Remember Joseph. What did it do to him? How did his brothers feel about him when his daddy showed the favoritism that he did? Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children. Chapter 37 and verse 3 says. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be concerned about how tall they are. You know what I wanted to be? 6 feet tall. Made it to 5'11 and a half. I think God just humbled me and said, you ain't going to go there. And now I'm even shorter. That happens. That happens. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. And then this point, in favor with God. If my children are all in favor with God, they are a success. Amen. Be concerned about your children spiritually. Their spiritual atmosphere, again, Deuteronomy chapter 6. When they lie down, when they rise up, when they walk by the way, keep it ever before them. Show them your love for God and His Word and for the church. You set the example. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, be thou an example of believers. Parents, grandparents, you be an example. Read God's Word to them. Some of you remember Brother Irvin Lee, a preacher, dead many years ago. But his dear wife told us a little story that in the Depression, her father was already dead. But her mother took in washing and ironing to feed the family. I think there were five daughters. And she said, I can't remember a time when I didn't know the Word of God. How did that mother do that? All of that work, all of that effort, rearing her children. She said, before we were able to wash the dishes, we sat around on the floor. And while she was doing the work in the kitchen, she taught us. And when we got old enough to do the work, she sat and she taught us. You may have her book in your home, Children's Bible Stories. Go there, get that. It's not expensive, and you'll enjoy reading it. And even if you do not have children at home, it is a great reminder. A great reminder. Parents, let your children, as I saw mine, study the Bible. Let them see you. That doesn't mean, oh, here they come, get the Bible. No. We sang a few moments ago about the sweet hour of prayer. Be jealous about your hour of Bible study. For some it is in the morning. For some it is in the evening. Whenever it is, you take time to be holy, because it does take time. Study with them. See that they get their Bible lessons. Our youngest son, Michael, I remember, did you get your lesson? Oh, yes. Showed us the book. Had words written in the blanks. Got to looking a little closer at the words, and they didn't match. Good little boy. But he tried. But he lost. He lost mightily that day. Should he have? Yes. Yes, he should have. Teach our children. Let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And you know what chapter 12 and verse 1 says, but let's go back to verse 9 of chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Let your children know, as Solomon is letting us know, that we should. Yes, enjoy your youth, young people. Don't go where the devil wants you to go. It will not be good. Again, back in chapter 1 and verse 20, beginning in verse 20 of Proverbs, wisdom is personified there, and wisdom said, I was with you everywhere you were. In the gates, I was with you. I was everywhere with you, warning you, trying to get your attention. And you said, get out. I'm not going to hear that. That preach. Get away from me. He said, but when your day comes, you're going to call for me. And wisdom says, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to come as Superman and rescue you out of your self-made trouble. You are going to suffer the consequences when your desolation comes. And all of the tears, oh, why did I do that? Why am I so... It's not going to take away the pain. It's not going to take away the anguish. It will be with you forever. Again, show them the consequences, as we mentioned earlier. I want you to be happy. The Lord wants you to be happy. When you say no to drugs and to alcohol and to sex, God doesn't want you to have any fun, does he? Yes, he does. You know what I enjoy? I enjoy at night pillowing my head and not having a thing to worry about. How about you? I don't have to worry about what I did today. Or on the way down here. Don't have to worry. My wife's not going to get a call from somebody she doesn't know. Mm-mm. Ain't going to happen. No better than that. Teach your children. Rejoice. Are you happy? I hope you all inside, whether you're shaking your head this way, inside you are. Yes, I am. I am so happy. Rejoice in your youth. Therefore, he says, verse 10, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. It's fleeting. It's empty. And then the very next verse, don't read the chapter 12 thing. Like there was no division here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We used to talk about the three R's of education, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, here's three more R's for you. Rejoice, remove, and remember. Parents, do your teaching. Show them the consequences of sin and show them the consequences of doing what is right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1 says, a good name is like precious ointment. In Proverbs 22 and verse 1, he said, a good name is better than great riches. And you can have a good name, young people, but you can lose it in a heartbeat, can't you? Yes, you can. I can still take my 1963 Excalibur High School yearbook and go through that yearbook, and I can show you the virtuous girls and the ones who weren't. We knew who they were. And you know when we found out? Monday, after the weekend. The boy who says, oh, I won't tell. Oh, yes, he will. Reputation? Gone. Gone. That's up to you. You're making the choices. About 20 years ago, George Jones sang a song called, I'm Living with the Choices I've Made, and So Will You. So am I. So am I. Parents, let's do your teaching. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Let your children go out. I knew a young lady that her parents wouldn't let her go anywhere. And finally when they did, she had to be back at home at 9 o'clock. Leave at 7, be back at 9. That girl eventually broke all the chains. She broke all the rules. She had not been allowed to be with people. And she didn't know what to do. In favor with God and man. Let them be with others. But you know who the others are. Know where your children, and children, do not lie. When you tell your parents you're going somewhere, don't end up somewhere else. If you end up somewhere else, you get on that phone and say, Mom, Dad, there's been a change of plans. I could not help it. I want you to know. All right. Let me give you a little secret, too. If you're to be home at 10 o'clock, get home at 5 till, rather than 5 after. 5 after is like an hour for parents who are waiting for you to get home. Okay? Parents, do your teaching and it will pay off. Where I preached several years ago, one grandmother said, I hate to see my grandchildren come. And I knew who her grandchildren were. There were 3 of them, and we hated to see them come too. Matter of fact, I tied up our children's toy box. Remember that, Joey, in our basement? I tied it up. They come running back. Why is the toy box tied up? Because you wreck everything. If it's new, you're going to undo it. You're going to tear it up. And they did. So we just said, you're not going to get it. Oh, I wish we had time to talk about the discipline in the book of Proverbs. But you can read that. You will read that, won't you? And what will be the result? Proverbs 1:27 and verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. But happiness is not produced by more things. Again, I suggest spend more time with your children and not money on them. Too many are too busy making too much money and have no time for their children and thinking that things will make up for the lack of time. Our children need weapons against the great home wrecker. God is the great home builder, and the devil is the great home wrecker, and he's having success, isn't he? Would you get your child a bicycle if 1 out of 2 of every child with a bicycle got killed? No way. He's not getting a bicycle because too much danger. 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce. And yet how much teaching do we do? Most time young people fall in lust with one another. I think that's the right word. They don't know what love is about. They've not been taught just marry somebody who's got money, or he's good looking, or she's good looking, and that's all you need. That's all we see on TV. And you know, on TV it works out just fine. Is that reality? Is that reality? Teach them what love is and what love isn't. 1 Corinthians 13, it's called the chapter on love, but what, just four verses about it. Four or five. We need to do our homework. Teach them about alcoholism. Teach them about drugs. Teach them about immorality. Teach them about selfishness. Teach them about anxiety, envy, and jealousy, and what it'll do. What it'll do to it'll kill love. I'm telling you, envy will kill love. It will kill it. Where were you? You were 2 minutes late getting home tonight. And she's not kidding. Ah, you've been with somebody. I know you have. No, honey, there was a wreck on... You want to marry that? You see envy, you see jealousy in him or in her? I'm telling you, you drop kick that person through the goalpost of life and say, bye-bye. I don't want any part. I don't want to live with that. I don't want to live with that. Last of all, obviously there's more to say, but you've listened patiently, and I want you to come back tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Brother Hatch asked me what I was going to preach about. I think I've decided I'm going to preach on soft preaching tomorrow. I don't think it'll be soft preaching, but that's the title of the lesson. And I know you all aren't used to that, tongue in cheek. But let me close this lesson with a little article I read a few years ago called "There's Going to Be Some Changes." There's going to be some changes when the children are grown. Someday things will be different. Rooms won't be full of toys. Won't be any experimental projects. Won't be any rabbits left over after Easter. Time's coming when there won't be a pajama-clad elf climb into bed with you saying, "I'm afraid." Or, "Do you love me?" Or, "Where does the lightning come from?" None of that. Someday after the children are grown, a jar of peanut butter will last longer than 24 hours. And a gallon of milk will last a week. Yeah. Someday there won't be any fingerprints on the refrigerator. And someday the telephone will be all yours. And it'll sit on a table and it won't be glued to a teenager's ear. You won't sit on a chair and crush a Crayola. You'll talk normally in your home, and words like "yep," "nope," and "gotta go" will pass, and you will no longer referee fights. Someday the house will be just for a loving couple, and they'll grow old together, and they'll be rich, for they'll share happy memories, and they will enjoy each other. Then the phone rings, and Grandma and Grandpa say, "Yes, we'll babysit the grandchildren." And that old house comes alive again. And Grandma and Grandpa have time to answer questions they didn't have time to answer as Mom and Dad. And the grandchildren clean out the fridge and mess up the kitchen. And Grandma and Grandpa sleep the sleep of the weary that night. Yes, folks, there will be some changes made, won't there? Enjoy them while they are with you. Do all the teaching that you can while you have the time and opportunity, and make the time. Take the time, and you will rejoice because of it, and so will they. So will they. Let your children increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. What a successful story that will be. Thank you for being so patient listening tonight. Hopefully, again, we have learned something that will benefit us in this lesson. I know in putting it together, I did. And hopefully it will help you as well. There may be a child in this audience tonight that has not obeyed the gospel, and we want you to do so. Or whatever your age. We want you to be what God wants you to be, so you can have the hope of going to heaven when you die. I guess because you don't know when that's going to be. I've buried some young people who were not prepared. It left a scar and a mark on parents. Unbelievable, because there was no hope. Don't leave that no hope for you. Do what the Lord would have you to do. Be what He would have you to be. And do it now while we stand and while we sing.